In less than a month, the Elkhart County Fair will once again be in full operation. Most who are here have been to this fair at least once, and we've had to struggle with the crowd. It may be that we went to the parking area, and there was a great crowd there. Or maybe we decided that we would go to a concert or maybe some show, and that activity was packed with people. Suppose, if you will, that for the 2012 Elkhart County Fair, one night instead of having the demolition derby or a radio, they said, we're going to have, in place of this activity, a preacher. In place of a famous band, we are going to have a local preacher come in and preach a lesson on the Bible. How packed would the grandstands be? Well, I suspect that there would be plenty of spaces. I do not think that we would have the same crowd problem that we would have on Rodeo Night or Demolition Derby Night. In Jesus' day, the situation was somewhat different. We turn today to Luke chapter 5, our text, and if you've already turned there and looked at the sermon outline, you have a general idea as far as what we're going to cover. The opening verse in this chapter says there was a multitude. That is, there was a great crowd. This large crowd, it is said, pressed upon Jesus. Sometimes people came to Jesus. Sometimes people sought out the Lord because they saw him as someone who could give free food. On other occasions, there were people who sought out Jesus because they wanted a miracle, either for themselves or maybe they had a loved one who was ill. On this occasion, though, people did not come for free food. People were not there, apparently, to receive a miracle. Luke says that people were pressing on Jesus. People came as far as a great crowd so they could hear the Lord teach or present the Word of God. So many people came that Jesus actually had to take special measures. He had to relocate because the crowd was so great. As Jesus assessed the situation, he's trying to teach. There is this large mass of people. Luke says this in Luke chapter 5, verse 2. And he, that's Jesus, saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Sometimes people have a job where their source of employment causes them at the end of the day to take their tools and clean their tools before they go home or before they quit. This was true for the fishermen in Jesus' day. One of the tools that fishermen in Jesus' day used, of course, would have been the nets. That's how they often caught fish. After these nets had been used, they would take those nets at the end of the day, and they would clean them. These nets also had to be checked for tears or rips, and at the end of the day, they would take the time to mend or repair those nets. Luke tells us that Jesus decided, because of the great crowd, to use one of these unused boats as a teaching platform. He thought that if he was able to get in one of these boats and get back a little way, that would allow him to teach the great number of people who had come. So Jesus uses this innovative teaching platform, Luke 5, verse 3. And he entered into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude out of the boat. As we look at the opening verses in Luke 5, we find two key points, one of which is this. There were some people in Jesus' day, in fact, we would say there were many people, who were interested in hearing what the Lord had to say. There were, in the first century, a large number of people who were very interested in spiritual things. Today, this still seems to be true. We may not have many occasions where we have a full grandstand of people. There may not be any times that come up in our life where we have so many people we're trying to communicate with that we actually have to step back from a crowd because so many want to hear about the Bible. We do, though, and we know beyond any doubt that we have a lot of people in our world searching for information about God and His Word. Google has some interesting tools that if you use the internet, you may or may not be familiar with this technology. Google, though, has some tools which will allow you to actually find out what people are searching for on the internet. This tool will allow you to see what people are searching for in various languages. It will allow you to see what people are searching for as far as worldwide searches, or if you want to limit the search to a particular country like the United States, you can break it down in all kinds of ways. This past week, I went back and looked at this particular tool, and I wanted to see what people are searching for in the United States, and these are people who speak English. What are people searching for as far as religious information? Google turned up some interesting results. There are 2,500 people a month, it was actually 2,500 people a month approximately who search the expression, what must I do to be saved? Now think about that. 2,500 people in the U.S. who speak English every month on average search for the expression, what must I do to be saved? That's quite a few. Then as I looked a little more as far as what Google had to say, I found that there were 75,000 searches a month from people who speak English in the United States who want to know how to be born again. Close to 100,000 people a month want to know how to be born anew. Most are familiar with the new birth, because if you pull up new birth, you find that Google searches come up to 200,000 searches a month on just those two words, new birth. I've saved the biggie for last. Would you believe that just four words, how to be saved? Those words, that simple expression, is searched by people in the United States more than 1 million times a month. 1 million times a month. When we think about Jesus and this great crowd, I do not know how many people were there. I dare say, though, that it was far fewer than 1 million folks. When we look at our culture today, there are a lot of people interested in God and spiritual things. Our modern world is a lot like Luke 5. Jesus knew how these people were interested, so he took steps necessary to teach the folks. He got into that boat of Simon's and backed up a little bit from the folks. He found a good platform to teach from and used that to offer religious instruction. Well, if we are a follower of Christ, this needs to be the way that we try to pattern our life today. We live in a world, Google tells us, the statistics are in, that we have in our culture a lot of people who are still trying to come up with information on some basic Bible subjects. Are we, as God's people, attuned to those folks? Are we trying to find those folks and help them get answers to the questions? Last week, I spent some more time with Google looking for some answers to some other questions related to today's material. I thought, I'm going to turn my attention for a few minutes to Facebook and see what Google has to say about Facebook. Most are familiar with Facebook, even if they do not use the internet or use it very much. So Facebook is, of course, what's commonly referred to as a social networking site. It is a place where people can go and communicate with various folks about a lot of different things. Question number one was, how many people are on Facebook? Well, right now, Google says there are almost 1 billion people who use Facebook. Then I wanted to know how many people a Facebook user has as far as friends on average. Google came back with another answer. It said on average there are about 190 friends that people have. Then I went back to Google and I thought, I have a third question. I want to know what people typically post on Facebook. Now, you might not think that Google keeps track of that stuff. Google knows what people post on Facebook. So what you're posting on there, what people post on there, it's a lot more public, at least as far as some of the search engines, than what people might believe. Anyway, the top things for 2011 came out to these items. The death of Osama bin Laden, the Packers winning the Super Bowl, the Casey Anthony trial, the rants of Charlie Sheen, the death of Steve Jobs, and the royal wedding for Prince William. These were the top items for 2011. As I went down and looked at that particular list, the things that were not missing were pretty sad. God and Christianity, religious things, did not make the most important list. As I thought about the information that I was looking at, I wondered, if Jesus and the apostles had possessed a Facebook account, can we imagine them making dozens or hundreds or thousands of posts but never trying to point people to God? I can't imagine that. In Luke 5, where we see what Jesus was doing, he took the time to try to point people to God. We sing songs about letting our light shine. We find examples of how Jesus and the apostles tried to teach people, how they tried to steer them to God, if you will. When we look at the book of Acts, most of that information that was authored by Luke, it talks about people, Christians, trying to expose people to God's word. Today, things have not changed. It's still God's word that people be pointed to the scriptures. That should be a big part of our life. When we become a Christian, we have received information, the gospel, which is known as the good news. God says if you possess that information, if you have the good news, don't hide it. Don't keep it to yourself. That good news is to be shared with others. The good news is not just the good news, it is the best news that man will ever hear. Jesus, as we see in Luke 5, took an opportunity to share that good news. He proved by his life that he was going to be faithful. And as he proved that faithfulness, additional opportunities were opened as far as doors of opportunity, and he used those. The Lord has returned to heaven, the apostles are gone, but God's word still exists. It's still God's word that information goes out into the world. From the information given, from Google earlier, we have a lot of people in our society, in the United States, who are looking for information relative to the Bible. Today, we enter into a new month, and we are putting an emphasis on one of our new efforts, Indiana Bible Study. This past week, we received in the mail the first completed course back from someone who found one of the cards that someone had distributed locally. So I know there's at least one person out there that's interested in the Bible. There are still folks in our area who are seeking information about God. They want to be a child of God. They want to go to heaven. They want to have God hear their prayers. If you have not yet taken one of the stacks of cards on the foyer table today, I'm asking you to take one of those stacks, or if you've taken a stack and not used it, or if you've gone through a stack, grab another one. Take that stack, and as Don mentioned in the announcements, look for places to distribute that information. Don't have to hand it to somebody. If you're a little hesitant about that, post it on a bulletin board at work, post it on a restaurant bulletin board, leave it at a doctor's office in a break room, but look for places to drop those cards, because that's God's will, that we go out and try to reach people with the gospel. Let today, if you've been hesitant in the past, if you've not done good at this, let today be a starting point to go out and try, like Jesus, to reach the folks that are looking for information. If you've already started this in the past, great. We would ask that you continue to help share the good news. Now, sometimes people are a little hesitant to spread the gospel of Christ because they think, well, my efforts are going to fail. It's true, I've tried in the past and I've helped in this way and that way, but everything that I've done has failed. Because there have been so many failures in the past, why continue to try? Why give it another shot? Why persist? When that kind of thinking arises, and it will arise for most people at one time or another, it's good to go back to Luke 5. In Luke 5, we find that Peter was a fisherman. Jesus knew about Peter's occupation, and the Lord tells Peter, he's in his boat, the Lord tells Peter, I want you to go fishing. Luke 5, if you stayed here, let's now look at the information in verse 4. And when he had left speaking, he finishes up the sermon. He said unto Simon, put out in the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. Now, Peter was a man who knew a little something about fishing. He was a fisherman. He knew, John 21, verses 3 through 5, that in this day and time, if you were going to fish, the best time to fish was at night. The best place to fish was not out there in the deep. The best place to fish would have been by the shore. But Jesus comes to Peter. It's daytime. It's not night. It's the wrong time of day to fish. And Jesus says, let's go out there into the deep. That's the wrong place. Fishermen, like Peter, knew it was right to fish in the shallow water. What Jesus tells Peter in Luke 5 was absolutely contrary to what people knew to be right when it came time to catch fish. In the first part of verse 5, which we're going to read, Peter reminded the Lord, hey, we've tried. We've been out and we've fished and we've not taken anything. Simon answered and said, Master, we toiled, we worked. We spent some effort and we worked all night. We spent the entire evening. And Jesus, we took nothing. Now you're telling us after a night of unsuccessful fishing, you want us to go out at the wrong time of day and you want us to go out to the wrong depth and you want us to try again. Peter could have had the attitude that some seem to possess when it comes to their evangelistic attempts. Today some will say, well, we've tried that. We've already talked to him. We've already talked to her. They've never accepted our invitation. Everything just seems to fail. Let's quit because it's not working. Peter could have had that kind of attitude and said, well, you know what we've done, and Lord, we're not going to go. We've tried it, and it just hasn't worked, but that's not what he did. In Luke 5, verse 5, the Bible says, at thy word. Because you've told me to go, at thy word, we're going to go. And not only are we going to go, we're going to let down the nets. Imagine how pleased the Lord was by Peter's obedience. You've had failure, the wrong place, the wrong time of day. But Jesus, you've said go. And we're going to honor you. We're going to be obedient to your word. Today, Jesus is still pleased by those who seek to honor him by spreading his word. We, as we go through our life, our Christian life, may sow dozens, hundreds, or thousands of seeds for the Lord. As we sow those seeds and as years go by, it may seem like the results of our efforts are slight to moderate. God has said, though, this is what you need to do. This is what is required to be obedient to me. As therefore we go and we sow that seed, we're being obedient. Many times we may wish that we were capable of doing a better job. In the end, though, what matters the most is, did we do what God told us to do? Did we try to find people? Did we try to reach people? Did we try to teach people whether or not they were interested in the gospel? If the answer to that question is yes, had Peter gone out there and not caught any fish, well, he still would have been obedient. Our job is to go out there and sow the seed, regardless of what happens with it. We cannot control what people will do with the gospel. We can, however, control what we do with it. God forbid that we keep that information inside these four walls. Peter did as the Lord said. And as we look at this story, we find that he was blessed. Peter, Luke 5, verse 6, as he went out there and began to fish, the Bible says in that sixth verse that so many fish were caught that the nets began to break. That's how many fish that they caught. Verse 7 says there were men from another boat. And these men from the other boat, they were summoned. They were asked, hey, we need some help. We're catching so many fish. We need some additional manpower to pull in all of the fish that we're catching. Peter had enough faith to do what the Lord said. But as Peter went through this experience, Luke indicates to us that his faith was not quite as great as we might suspect. Yes, he did have enough faith to go out there and do what Jesus said. But notice what we find in verse 8 of Luke 5. But Simon Peter, when he saw what was taking place with the fish, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Well, these words can also be related to our evangelistic efforts. As we go through life, it is very, very easy to get off track. We can talk about having faith in God, but in the end, our faith in God may not really be as strong as it should be, or maybe as strong as we think it is. Oftentimes, we can say, oh, we have faith in God. But really, if we look carefully at our life, that faith in God that we think we have, it's not so much faith in God. It's really faith in self, dependence on self, and faith in our own efforts. Sometimes if people were honest, if they really took a careful and close look at themselves, they would find in that evaluation, I think, many times they rely on themselves 90% of the time. And God's place in their life, faith, composes about 10% of their life. When that happens, oftentimes people think, well, we can't accomplish anything. Well, why not? Because we're depending upon ourselves. It's the 90% that we're thinking about as far as human power. When it comes to evangelism, oftentimes people think, well, it's not going to work because I don't have the skills. I don't have the power. I do not possess this, that, or the other thing. Well, that's probably what Peter thought. Unless we have a skilled fisherman out here, we're not going to catch any fish. Jesus, in Luke chapter 5, taught Peter and us a very, very important lesson. You may not be the best fisherman. You may not be the best person when it comes to trying to teach others, but if God is on your side, that's the thing that really matters. That's what Peter needed to be a great fisherman. That's what we need to be a successful soul winner for Christ. We simply need to be willing to do what the Lord said and expect him to help us. Peter, to his credit, did have enough faith to carry out the Lord's instruction. When he acted on that faith, God helped him. He was blessed, his faith was strengthened, and they had more fish than they could possibly bring in. So many fish, as we mentioned, were caught that the boats began to sink. When Peter saw how things went, his life was changed. His faith was strengthened. He began, apparently, to see things in a brand new and very different way. Peter's faith was increased just as our faith will be increased when we're obedient to God, and we see the consequences of that. We, as we go through life, need to learn how to become more dependent on faith instead of self. When we begin to see how that faith helps us and how it aids us, we're then in a position to allow God to accomplish even more in our lives. The fishing miracle in Luke chapter 5 certainly helped prepare Peter for greater challenges a little later in his life. Staying with the same chapter, notice what we find with verse 10. And so were also James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men. The Lord, as he looked at Peter on this occasion, he knew that Peter was not yet in a position where he was going to catch men. He was going to be a great soul winner for Christ. That was going to take place, but the Lord said, you're still in training. It's going to take some time before you really get with the program, and the Lord said, that's okay. I'm patient. I'm willing to wait. You do need to get to that point, but there are some steps. There is some progression that needs to take place before you're actually going to arrive at this place. Well, this, as we look at our lives, is probably also going to be true of us. Most are not really ready when they become a Christian to go out and totally surrender their lives to Christ. People generally need some time to grow and mature and to start doing all the things that we find in the scriptures. Eventually, though, as the years go by, God expects us to get to a point. He wants us to reach a point of maturity where we are truly committed. True for Peter, true for us. So in Luke chapter 5, verse 11, the last verse in the paragraph, and when they had brought their boats to land, notice this, they left. Not a little, not some, but the Bible says they left all, everything, and they followed him. Jesus was a fisher of men. He said to these apostles, I want you to be fishers of men. And they became fishers of men. Took some time. They had to go through school, if you will, but they became fishers of men. If we are a Christian, are we also a fisher of men? We sing about, as we come to worship, our love for Christ. And that's great. That's important. That's right. But do we show that life, that love, in our life by trying to tell the world about Jesus? Let's commit this month and the rest of our lives to doing our best to bringing people into contact with Christ. The folks are out there who are looking. We simply need to speak up and say, hey, we are a follower of Christ. We have information that we would like to share with you. If someone has shared the information in the scriptures with you this morning, but you're not yet one of Jesus' followers, this morning you have a chance to be one of his people. If you believe and you want to live according to what we find in the Bible, you can take the last two steps. The Bible talks about confessing Christ, that he is the one that we need to follow. And then the Bible says we need to be united with Christ. We need to be joined with Christ. The Bible says every single sin can be washed away, Acts 2, verse 38, and Acts 22, 16. That last step is called baptism into Christ. And Paul described that in Galatians 3, 27. And in the book of Acts, the Bible says in chapter 22, verse 16, sins are washed away when we become a Christian. That's good news. That's a great experience. And then one of our tasks is to let others know that they too can have their sins remitted or forgiven. This morning, are we someone who has been joined to Christ and are actively trying to reach out to others with the good news? We hope so. And if not, let's recommit to that. If we have not yet come into fellowship with Christ, we have at least one more chance, one opportunity, to make sure that we are in his spiritual body, the church, through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. If we can help you become a Christian, strengthen you as a Christian, or aid you in some other way, will you let us know how we can assist you as we stand and sing the selected song?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Be seated, please.